जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीरावन चे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरि, यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिलो प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 5 लॉर्ड ऋषभदेवस टीचिंग्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 5। पराभवस्तावदबोधजातो यावन्न जिज्ञासत आत्मतत्त्वम्, यावत् क्रियास्तावदिव मनो वै कर्मात्मकं येन शरीरबन्ध, पराभवस्तावदबोधजातो यावन्न जिज्ञासत आत्मतत्त्वम्, यावत् क्रियास्तावदिदं मनो वै कर्मात्मकं येन शरीरबन्धः, ಪರಾಭವಸ್ತಾವದಬೋಧ ಜಾತ ಯಾವನ್ನ ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸತ ಆತ್ಮತತ್ವಂ ಯಾವತ್ ಕ್ರಿಯಾಸ್ತಾವದಿವ ಮನೋವೈ ಕರ್ಮಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಯೇನ ಶರೀರ ಬಂಧ. ಪರಾಭವಸ್ತಾವದಬೋಧ ಜಾತ ಯಾವನ್ನ ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸತ ಆತ್ಮತತ್ವಂ ಯಾವತ್ ಕ್ರಿಯಾಸ್ತಾವದಿದಂ ಮನೋವೈ ಕರ್ಮಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಯೇನ ಶರೀರ ಬಂಧ. ಪರಾಭವಸ್ತಾವದಬೋಧ ಜಾತ ಯಾವನ್ನ ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸತ ಆತ್ಮತತ್ವಂ ಯಾವತ್ ಕ್ರಿಯಾಸ್ತಾವದಿದಂ ಮನೋವೈ ಕರ್ಮಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಯೇನ ಶರೀರ ಬಂಧ. ಲೇಡೀಸ್ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್. ಪರಾಭವಸ್ತಾವದಬೋಧ ಜಾತ ಯಾವನ್ನ ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸತ ಆತ್ಮತತ್ವಂ ಯಾವತ್ ಕ್ರಿಯಾಸ್ತಾವದಿದಂ ಮನೋವೈ ಕರ್ಮಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಯೇನ ಶರೀರ ಬಂಧ. ಪರಾಭವಸ್ತಾವದಬೋಧ ಜಾತ ಯಾವನ್ನ ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸತ ಆತ್ಮತತ್ವಂ ಯಾವತ್ ಕ್ರಿಯಾಸ್ತಾವದಿದಂ ಮನೋವೈ ಕರ್ಮಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಯೇನ ಶರೀರ ಬಂಧ. ಪರಾಭವ ಡಿಫೀಟ್ ಆರ್ ಮಿಸರಿ ತಾವತ್ ಸೋ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಅಬೋಧ ಜಾತ ಪ್ರೊಡ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಇಗ್ನೋರೆನ್ಸ್ ಯಾವತ್ ಆಸ್ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಆಸ್ ನ ನಾಟ್ ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸತೆ inquires about Atma Tattvam, the truth of the Self, Yavat, as long as Kriyaha, fruit of activities, Tavat, so long, Idam, this, Manaha, mind, Vai, indeed, Karma Atmakam, absorbed in material activities, yena, which, I'm sorry, by which, sharira bandha, bondage in this material body. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. Be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruit of activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear, and as long as one is absorbed in fruit of activity, he has to accept a material body. Purport. Generally, people think that one should act very piously in order to be relieved from misery. But this is not a fact. Even though one engages in pious activity and speculation, he is nonetheless defeated. His only aim should be emancipation from the clutches of Maya and all material activities. Speculative knowledge and pious activity do not solve the problems of material life. One should be inquisitive to understand his spiritual position, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 37. Itai dhamsi sammido agnir bhasmasat kurute Arjuna. Jnanagni sarva karmani bhasmasat kurute tatha. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. Unless one understands the self and its activities, one has to be considered in material bondage. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 2, verse 32, it is also said, Ye anye aravindaksha vimuktamanina, tvayi astabhava avishuddha buddhayah. A person who doesn't have knowledge of devotional service may think himself liberated, but actually he is not. Aruhya krichrena parampatam tataha patanti adho anadita yushmadangrayah. Such people may approach the impersonal Brahman effulgence, but they fall down again into material enjoyment because they have no knowledge of devotional service. As long as one is interested in karma and jnana, he continues enduring the miseries of material life, birth, old age, disease, and death. Karmis certainly take on one body after another. As far as jnanis are concerned, unless they are promoted to the topmost understanding, they must return to the material world. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 19, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. The point is to know Krishna, Vasudeva, as everything and surrender unto him. Karmis do not know this. But a devotee who is 100% engaged in devotional service of the Lord knows fully what is karma and jnana. Therefore, a pure devotee is no longer interested in karma or jnana. Anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karma dinavritam. The real bhakta is untouched by any tinge of karma and jnana. His only purpose in life is to serve the Lord. Om ajnana timirandhasya jnananjana salakhaya chaksur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This is an excellent chapter. This is Lord Rishabhdeva speaking to his 100 sons. Rishabhdeva is speaking to his sons who are already well cultured and who are already well trained, yet he is speaking to them so that in the future they will be happy and they will be peaceful. So as a collective group of devotees, I have a request for all of us. The request is that these verses are very meaningful and they hold for us the secret by which we can go to the other side of misery, hankering, suffering, to the other side of actually being happy in serving Krishna. So the request is that we receive from Lord Rishabhdev through Srila Prabhupada We receive them with attention, with care, and more importantly, that these verses are not forgotten, these instructions are not forgotten after the Bhagavatam class. This is something that we make a point of discussing, contemplating, sharing with each other throughout the day. These are, in fact, these verses, this verse and the next verse, among other verses, hold some very special messages. Of course, the crown jewel of verses in his instruction is coming up when he talks about Mahatsevam. It's going to come up. He's building it for us. Today's verse, so that's the request. More like a reminder for me, but spoken out loud. Today's verse is a description of the problem. And tomorrow's verse is a description of the solution. There is a very, very important word in tomorrow's verse. Yavat Priya. So whoever is going to speak on it, I'm sure they will emphasize that. But today's verse is why people suffer. And by the way, it's not just people suffer, it is also those who have taken to devotional service, they also find themselves sometimes defeated. Okay, so Rishabhdeva, so while we're hearing these verses, it is as good as hearing from, not as good as, it is non-different than hearing from Rishabhdeva directly. So if you'd like to imagine sitting in the assembly with Lord Rishabhdeva and his 100 sons, because it's hearing from Prabhupada in Parampara is the same as sitting in the assembly and hearing from him directly. Another request is that while the teachings are there, the verses are there, somehow or the other, if we can go beyond just the language of the verse and go to the mood of the verses. In the mood of the verse is that Rishabhdeva is very lovingly speaking to his sons, and it's almost like a plea. He's making a request that please take these teachings seriously. That's the mood. So when we connect with the not just the words but the voice behind those words, then the impact is greater. Just like someone can say, "I love you," and it can be just 3 words. But when someone says it with all their feelings, and we hear those feelings, we hear those words of feelings, it makes a deeper impact. Or someone says, "I'm sorry." And many times we say, "I'm sorry." But when we say, "I'm sorry," with feelings, it has a greater impact. So, although this is one-dimensional in one sense, one-dimensional is we're just reading verses. That's the dimension. But we are not meant to accept Bhagavatam only on one dimension. We're meant to accept Bhagavatam with the other dimensions. That's the affective dimensions. To enter into the mood, the spirit. So today's verse. First of all, just whenever there is yavad and tavad, that is like a cause and effect relationship. When this condition is there, then that condition will be there. So Rishabhdeva is saying that as long as the mind is colored with something other than Krishna consciousness, we call it karma and jnana, or speculation and fruit of mentality, or call it any language, absence of the mood of service, when that is there, what happens? Sharira bandha. One will be bound by a body. As if that were not enough, there is another thing. One becomes defeated, parabhava. Now nobody in this world does anything to become unsuccessful, except those who intentionally want to sabotage something. In fact, even in sabotaging something, that's their success. It is their success and someone else's failure. And if they are not able to do that, then it becomes their failure. Nobody wants to do something to fail. Yet, according to this verse, everybody fails. Everybody fails because in life they're looking for success in the wrong place. They're looking for success from a material perspective, either in wealth or even material relationships, or security in jobs, or however they're trying to call, or however they're trying to define success for themselves. You know, the highest grade point average in school. And Prabhupada says that all of this is considered defeated. It's useless. In September 1973, Prabhupada says that actually one doesn't have to work hard. In fact, he says one doesn't even have to work to maintain oneself. Because all other living entities of the 8,400,000 species, the 8 million species are not working. They are eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Only the 400,000 species of human beings are actually working to do the same thing. So he calls this abodha jata. I call it born again as a rascal. So there are many born agains. There is a born again rascal. Born again rascal means, Prabhupada defines insanity. We were talking about it Sunday night. Insanity, Prabhupada says, means doing the same thing again and again and hoping for a different result each time. So the same thing again and again is looking for happiness in the material world and hoping that this time around, I think I can make it work. And the way a person becomes defeated is that they have to die. This is the ultimate certificate of defeat. When someone is successful, they get a medal. The medal for defeat is death. All of the things that they have worked for is abruptly ended. So, Rishabhadeva, he says that success is not doing something pious. Doing something pious means actually following religious life, but for a different goal or for a different purpose. Following religious life so I can earn nicely. Following a religious life so I can be a good man. Following a religious life so I can accumulate wealth legally. Legally means from the perspective of religion, legally. And live a happy life. Rishabhadeva says, this is a complete failure. Being a good man, some people have the strong ideas. I just want to be a good man. He says, that is a complete failure. The whole idea of I want to be a good man is a failure idea. Don't pursue it. Because that idea is abodha jata, comes from ignorance. The ignorance is not knowing who one is, factually. And that ignorance will continue until, or the ignorance will continue as long as na jigyasata, the one does not inquire about their true identity. In other words, until they come in contact with the spiritual master, this will continue. All their fantastic ideas will end up in serious failure. And so Rishabhdeva is urging that human life is only valuable when one starts inquiring, how to? Who am I? And just is not inquiring. Jigyasa is just not asking questions. Jigyasa means asking questions and applying the answers that are received. Only then this further inquiry will come. Otherwise one will be just asking the same questions again and again foolishly without doing anything about it. That is not jigyasa, that's called nuisance. Asking the same question without applying. It's nuisance because the misery continues. One will say, I have a spiritual master, I'm asking the questions. My misery is continuing. Well, because application is not there. Or not strong enough. This abodha jata, abodha, the word is buddhi. Intelligence, if it is not awakened, then it does not uplift a person from ignorance. And the way to awaken intelligence, the way to awaken, first the person has to be awake, then the intelligence will be awakened. So for considering, hopefully, that the person is awake, how to awaken intelligence is given by Krishna in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This is connected to tomorrow's verse. That verse is, Tesham Satata Yuktanam. But that's not the secret. Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. This is the secret. That a person who can serve Krishna lovingly, or Krishna's representatives lovingly, for such a person only the intelligence is awakened. For all other persons, the intelligence can be awakened up to the platform of goodness. But even in the platform of goodness, because Krishna is not fully visible or clear to such a person, there will still be parabhava. So this bhajatam priti purvakam takes one's intelligence beyond goodness to the transcendental platform. And only then can one overcome, he says, the karmatmaka, the influences of the colored mind. So we'll give a rest to the materialists. I will talk about devotees, ourselves. Our trajectory of bhakti goes on a start-stop schedule. There are some starts. We make some enthusiastic endeavors to move in the direction of purity. Then there are stops or hurdles or glitches or hitches. And the general tendency then is to put in more effort, extra effort. And then we go somewhere for a while, and then there is again a little hiccup. And then we put in extra effort. But in that extra effort, we often might forget a very important operative principle. That it's not the extra effort that we need. What we need is the heart needs to awaken its affective features. Without affective devotional service, that's why I started the class with the way I did. Without the affective feature, I'll explain what affective feature is. Our endeavors, even if they are doubled and tripled, will not give us the result that we could get by simply awakening the affective side of things. With affective side, the endeavor doesn't have to be too much. Actually, it's very little. Or, said it differently, when the affective side is there, then we are not relying completely on the efforts that we are making. The affective side means the side of feelings. The side that actually nurtures the emotions within bhakti. The emotions mean loving sentiment towards the spiritual master, the devotees, Krishna. The affective side is the feelings of gratitude, the intensity of wanting to serve because it touches some other chord in the heart versus, oh, I'm supposed to serve the Vaishnavas. That supposed to serve the Vaishnavas is a intellectual point until the feelings are connected to it. More visually, the acceptance of the principles of bhakti remain here within the mind and intelligence. We call it mental acceptance of things. They only descend to the heart when the feelings are associated with the activities. If the feelings are not there, then they just remain activities. Then we have to rely on effort and strength. This is where karma and jnana fail, because they are simply on one's efforts. So Rishabhdev is preparing the case for it, that parabhava, one can be anyone. One can do anything, extra tapasya, more austere this and cold water that, whatever it might be, is still parabhava. The little blip or hiccup is not too far away. Unless one serves or connects on the level of emotions or the level of the affective side. For such persons, these karmatmaka, the mind becomes easily overcome. Krishna uses another word in Bhagavad Gita, but it's the same principle, yujus prapadyate. One who is submissive, he says. Daivihi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mame vaye prapadyante. Mayametam tarantite. That prapadyate includes the affective feature of bhakti. This is why there is beauty in bhakti. There is no beauty in karmakanda. Karmakanda means ritualistic. Ritualistic performance and going to the most benevolent, most loving for something material in return. So then actually it's not beautiful. It's not joyful. You go to the our Supreme Father, Krishna, who is rasovai saha, who's eager for relationships, who's all eager for churning the nectar of, friendship in a varieties of ways. You go to him and say, I want some money from you, or I want a good job, or it kills the taste from things. Or to stay far away from Krishna and speculate on all the different things of who he might be, what is the reality of things, analyze the whole damn thing in atoms and molecules. You give someone a sweet gulab jamun and they'll put it under a microscope and say, it has a little sugar, a crystal structure. It has certain atoms and molecules of flour and wheat. And they write out a whole map of, you know, the chemical equations of what a gulab jamun is without tasting the sweetness of gulab jamun. Because jnani means all these speculative fellows. Everything has to be analyzed down to the very molecular structure to understand something. We also have the tendency to analyze everything. Why this? Why not? Hey, just enjoy the gulab jamun and be done with it. No. So neither jnana nor karma are beautiful. They're not sweet. But the sweetness is in relationship with Krishna. Even if one doesn't understand anything. This is why sometimes the sentimentalists seem happier than the jnanis. Although the sentimentalist happiness is not profound. But still, they are joyful. Even the devotees, because there is relationship with Krishna, our hearing and chanting is joyful. But the jnanis cannot joyfully hear and chant because they have to analyze it. How does it happen? How does one transcend these modes of nature by dancing? Why are we not studying this from Vedanta? Where in Vedanta does it say like that? Abodha jata. Is this silly? So, in our lives, as we are trying some things, we're trying to develop our Krishna consciousness, the success will be guaranteed or assured when, along with the, I'm going to use the word, rituals of bhakti, those rituals are accompanied with the actual substance of bhakti, which is preeti. Loving sentiments associated with whatever we are doing. So we may give a gift to another devotee. And officially from the ritual of it, it satisfies the condition of dadati and pratigrahnati. But that doesn't awaken feelings. I mean, that doesn't awaken devotionally progressive sentiments unless there are feelings associated with dadati and pratigrahnati. The activity itself is potent, no doubt. But the activities become even more potent when there is feelings associated with it. So that's the substance of things. And that substance, it can only come when there is proper jigyasa. Like inquiring how we connect with each other on the platform of the soul. How we connect with Krishna on the platform of the soul. On the platform of the body and mind, there are many hurdles. Young body, whatever, uncultured this background, that background, we had some discussion on this. These are all hurdles on the level of the gross and subtle bodies. You know, subtle obstructions are whatever emotional, mental things that hold us back. You know, don't have the intelligence, the material intelligence to understand certain verses. Cannot even pronounce certain words. I read again and again, it just doesn't get to me. Or, I don't know Sanskrit at all. Or I'm not or the other problem is I'm so educated that once I read, I know the whole verse and I miss the whole purpose of it. Like I can, Sanskrit scholar. Both are hurdles. Then I become so expert that, why did Prabhupada translate this word like this? It's the other side of over-intelligence. My mother used to chastise me. Ativrushti, anavrushti. This is a phrase that comes in Yudhishthir Maharaj's when Yudhishthir Maharaj's rule is being discussed. When Yudhishthir Maharaj was ruling the world, there was na ativrushti, na anavrushti. Not too much rain, nor too little rain. Ativrushti means too much mercy, too much flow. Anavrushti means not enough flow. So, the mode of passion is, because it is extreme behaviors, one day this side and the other day the other side, my mother would always chastise, your behavior is always ativrushti, anavrushti. Either too much or too little. Why can't you just be consistent in what you're doing? So like that, either this, on this end, we have some hurdles in terms of what we call disqualifications, or on the other end, we have too many material qualifications, and those are also hurdles. All of that may be there. And by the way, they are there. It's not that may be there. Right? We've come into this material world with these baggages, these hurdles, these anchors, or shackles, if you will. Yet, we are meant to connect with Krishna on the platform of the soul. But how to do that? It requires proper jigyasa with a spiritual master to carefully inquire, to get trained and apply. As we apply ourselves, and the operating principle for application is loving feelings. We call it gratitude. With those feelings we apply, then the realization is very different. So that's the setup of the verse for tomorrow. Very, very nice verse. In fact, very sweet verse. Because it talks about the sweetness of love, or doing something with love. Not just doing something for the sake of doing something. And he takes that love must be reposed to the Mahat in the form of seva. Okay. Do you have any comments? Jai Jagannath Prabhu.
Srila Prabhupada says that spiritual life is not a question of sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. So it seems like when we're wanting to cultivate these feelings, you were mentioning, your mother said, why can't you just be consistent, you know? Boom. So it seems like when we're trying to cultivate these feelings, it has to be from a foundation of consistency. Mm. Or the dharma, like Noh Thakura gives, the fear, hope, duty, and then love. Raga.
Right.
So it seems like those feelings have to be cultivated from a platform of consistency. Because what I have, it's a question. I have observed devotees like this, and they're not consistent, but then they have a good feeling, they go with that, and they have a bad feeling, they're down with that. And
right.
So it seems like when we're preaching to people, we're trying to train them up, although we want them to add the feelings to their activities, it seems like we need to first get them consistent
right.
before we can really emphasize that element of the practice. So I was wanting to know.
That's correct. The only edit I'd make is, it doesn't have to be before, it has to be alongside. Alongside. That alongside with consistency, that the feeling side be not neglected, or the feeling side be also cultivated. So the consistency is within the regulation. Morning program, evening program, that builds the consistency. Sleep at night on time, wake up on time, come on time, do things. This is what everyone does at 7:30 in the morning. That's the consistency. The services are certain that there is meant to be, they repeat, unfortunately, they repeat. So that's the consistency. Now, while we're doing that, put a little heart into it. And if we don't put our heart into it, here's what happens. Parabhava, they lose that consistency. say it in a language that we are familiar with. From sadhana, Vaidhi sadhana bhakti comes raga bhakti. Right? Raganuga bhakti. From Vaidhi comes Raganuga. The bridge to that is doing it with the heart. Although there are rules, we do it with the heart. Then the spontaneity will awaken. Otherwise, just doing the ritual, the spontaneity will not awaken. I forget the Bengali of the Chaitanya Charitamrita verse. But Lord Chaitanya says, you can do hearing and chanting for lifetimes after lifetimes and you won't get anything unless... Do you remember the verse? Bahu janma kare, correct. I don't know the rest of the Bengali, but... So the heart must be involved. If the heart's not involved, one can follow everything and you will not, won't get anything from it. And sometime something will happen and boom, parabhava, stavad abodha jata. The abodha jata, ignorance is to forget that we have a loving relationship with Krishna. Or that we have to establish our loving relationship with Krishna. So alongside.
When someone goes through these intense, because my experience, my emotions can be very deceptive.
Your emotions can be deceptive?
Deceptive in terms of the actual situation.
Okay.
My actual level of consciousness. So I go through, on either side, like for me recently, in the recent times, it's been like I have not been able to see much light in my own self, you know, and it's required a lot of devotee care for me that's helped me to see that there's something in me that's, you know, at least okay. and then sometimes it goes the other extreme where you show a little solidarity or consistency, then you have a type of emotional experience, and then, you know, you're sailing on cloud nine when you actually need to be grounded on the earth. So sometimes the emotional experience can be deceptive in terms of our actual situation.
Well, there is emotions on the level of the body, and there is emotions on the level of the soul. Generally, we operate on the emotions of the body. So the cultivation here, the jigyasa, is the heart when it connects is that part. If we are not aware of it, then we will not experience it. So one has to cultivate the awareness that I am spirit soul, that is also a spirit soul, and that spirit soul has these whatever, and this spirit soul has all these whatever, yet that's a spirit soul, and this is a spirit soul, and that is the super soul. Can I think like, how would a soul interact with another soul? Just that consideration opens the door, like a thin crack, for some higher light to enter. Otherwise, there will still be some other emotions. You're good to me, I'm happy. You're not good to me, I'm angry. When those things happen, that's an indicator, Haribol, that this is somewhere else, or this is coming from somewhere else. Yeah, I want to say. Yes, Haribol.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class.
Hare Krishna.
You was explaining about the different emotions we have. There's emotions from the body and emotions from the soul. And you said that we should be able to be aware of these types of emotions. Now, how do I awaken those emotions so I can use those emotions in service of Krishna?
Yeah. Good question. The emotions that appear on the material level happen because of our bodily concept of life. When we cultivate a spiritual concept of life, then the emotions awaken from that level. Understand? So it's what conception of life are we operating on? That's important. And to go from bodily conception of life to the spiritual conception of life, it doesn't happen by our decision making. Oh, today I'll be on the spiritual platform. 20 seconds later, you know, we'll be somewhere else. For a well-trained person, it takes 20 seconds. But the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the humble service unto Vaishnavas, these are our ways of connecting to the spiritual conception of life. Because that's Chetodarpana Marjanam. That's like the first lesson Lord Chaitanya gave. That by chanting, one begins to connect with the spiritual conception of life. So if we are not connecting with the spiritual conception of life, then we need to go and examine our chanting. We need to go examine our hearing. What am I hearing? Hearing is not just that in class I sat there, I liked some points, and then it goes away. Hearing is a preparation for the rest of the day, because the rest of the day we will be forced by material nature, or if you like to say Krishna, forced by Krishna to face circumstances where we are given opportunities to apply what we heard. And when we don't apply, next day when we come to class, we're starting with the parabhava state, I'm defeated. We come back like that, wounded soldier. But we are meant to come back to class with success. I applied, and voila, that's what I came to know. Or I couldn't apply, and I learned this. That's better. You understand? So that's hearing. Hearing is the full day's preparation. Oh, I heard from Rishabhadev. I heard from the very merciful Srila Prabhupada. This is how I'm going to operate this day today. And boom, some devotee says something, someone didn't do something, someone chastised me, whatever it happens. Or the senses get agitated, the mind says, go after that. Oh, parabhavastavadabodhajat, I'm supposed to go back to those teachings. Why? Because Rishabhadeva would like me to be successful. To please him, because he's so mercifully telling me what to do. Just to please him. This is the affective side. Just to please him. Just to please my spiritual master. To see him happy. Here's what I have to do or not do. Then you apply with the affective side. But if you just say, sense objects are bothering me, mind should be controlled, it won't be happening. It then becomes mechanical.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Himanshu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
I had this experience recently, this young man I introduced you to on Sunday. A lot of times people will come to our temple and their mind colored with fruitive activity, but they have this spiritual curiosity and they'll present various conceptions and they'll have various emotions attached to those various conceptions. And I was thinking, how effective is it if we were to, like, if we dismiss the conception completely, it might create a sense of, within them, because they're so attached to it, like an attachment to the conception, and they feel like they're being dismissed. So how do you go about, like, when you're speaking with someone, they're presenting, because to them, their emotions arising from the bodily concept are very, very dear to them, right? So how do you go about, like, bringing in the right conception without, you know, making them feel like you're being dismissive of how they feel?
Yeah. Well, it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. From the person, we need to have sufficient acumen to know that some persons conceptions, when they are defeated, they actually become happy because they are carrying that as a burden. You wanted to do car puja and someone cut that burden for you. Someone else, if you cut, then they become even more morose. So you wish, one should know with who, how to, whether to, you know, they're carrying this burden, whether to relieve them or to at least walk with them up to a place where they're ready to drop the burden. So that much acumen we should have. And if we don't have, then we shouldn't be preaching. We shouldn't be preaching. We should just form friendships and someone else can talk and help them move that. But we should get a sense that is that conception like a burden, it's bothering them. Then you can relieve it. But if it's something that they hold on to as dear and their life is all built on that, then they may not be too happy about it. So it depends. What are they?
Hari Bol. Prabhu, the first thing is that there is a two side. The second side is the effective side, which work on the relationship with the spiritual masters and serving Vaishnavas. Right, so, Prabhu? Sometimes we try to express the feeling of emotions and gratitude toward the Vaishnavas community, let's say in temple community, and some devotee might not be totally, you know, he doesn't like the way we try to express our feeling with him or try to express our care with that devotee. In that situation, how to be balanced, not to be overwhelmed with that devotee or to...
Service means as they like. Not as we like. Some persons may like means they may receive better, they may receive, suppose we have tears in our eyes and we say something, they may receive it. Someone else will say, oh, I'm uncomfortable. Whatever. But to serve someone means to serve according to their needs or interests or concerns. Generally, or what is forgotten is, I'm happy, I want to serve, here I come. But service means, what is the best thing to do for that person? If we forget that, then there, how can we feelings? Then it's again all about me. So even care is extended according to the person. When you say okay, does it mean that did you agree, or should we move on, or you don't agree with this thing? You totally agree. We have something for you, an instrument that you can speak into.
I totally agree with your sentence.
Therefore, okay, let's move on to the next.
No, this is the second side that we try to. We have a tendency to put more effort. The second side is that
the tendency to put more effort.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, how we can correct this situation? We have tendency to put more effort. This usually comes while we are chanting. We try to contemplate our relationship, or we try to... All the things come when we are chanting. So, how to...
Other than Krishna, everything else comes to mind at that time.
Yeah, so... I put myself that, no, I am not trying. I should just give
because we forget, unfortunately. It is our habit to forget, because we come into this world with forgetfulness. Yes? Agree? Your agreeing to me is very important for me. Yes? Say it in the mic. Let it get recorded.
Agree.
Okay. Because forgetfulness is like a constitutional nature in this world. We have the big amnesia. We forgot Krishna. And on a day-to-day basis, we forget that again and again. That our chanting is meant to attract and receive Krishna's mercy whenever and however he would like to give it to us. It is our humble attempt to beg Krishna for his mercy. It's a very humble attempt. And our attempt is really, I would say, I can't say we now, but when I speak of myself, my attempt is ridiculous. Which is, yet, I'm anticipating, I'm hoping that Krishna will give me mercy. Not on the strength of my effort, but on the strength of the mercy that Krishna's devotee has shown upon me and has engaged me to do this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kono Mahajane, Tava Nija Jana, Kono Mahajane. That is the only reason that I will get mercy, because someone very dear to you, my dear Krishna, has agreed to show some mercy upon me. Thank you. So that's where, however, because we are in this material world and we think we have certain qualifications, whatever they are, as soon as we get into chanting or something, we rely on those strengths. Ah, if I, what's that called, grimace like this, somehow my mind will get controlled. So we chant like that, hey Krishna, hey Krishna. As we can hold our mind like that. Or send the sound vibration to our ear. Hare Krishna, Rama. Chanting was better. It's not mercy. Prayer, my dear Krishna, my gosh. Na anuragaha. See, anuraga is the affective side again. That I have no attachment, no feelings for whatever I'm doing. There's no heart is absent, completely vacant. In whatever I'm doing, I'm just like a zombie going from one service, I call it service also, go from one activity to another activity. Na anuraga. Where's the heart? Okay. Thank you very much. Prasad has agreed. Prasadam adigachati. Anything else? Ladni Shakti. We should serve it. I didn't say we should. I said I hope we will, and that we all can learn to. Yes.
You mentioned that we should serve the devotees and the spiritual master with loving feelings.
And Krishna, yes.
So my question was, what does it mean to serve with loving feelings?
Yeah, loving feelings. The beginning of it is Krishna will be pleased. That's a loving feeling. We're thinking, loving feeling means thinking about the interest of the other. That's a loving feeling. That Krishna will be pleased by my doing this, by my not doing this. May Krishna be pleased. So what will Krishna be pleased by? Or what will Krishna not be pleased by? That's called loving feelings. If I am with this devotee in this particular way, will it be pleasing to Krishna? Or how can I be with this devotee in such a way that it is pleasing to Krishna? That's loving feeling. And we know what is pleasing to Krishna because we hear from the Guru what is pleasing to Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.